In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." This is our text. You know that it's Advent when you start hearing the voice and the preaching of John the Baptizer. He comes out of nowhere, it seems, almost like an Old Testament prophet who stepped right off the pages, another Elijah or Elisha. Suddenly he's there, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And I'll be honest, the Sunday of Living Nativity, it's not the easiest time to hear John the Baptizer. We're already worn out and tired with a long first night and a second long night ahead of us. And John isn't all that gentle. He's a bit rough around the edges. He doesn't wear the right clothes. He doesn't eat the right food. And he says it like it is. He'll say what needs to be said, even if it's hard for us to hear it. Unlike so many, he doesn't parse words. He doesn't call good evil or evil good. He calls a spade a spade. And he calls sin sin. He's a preacher of repentance and faith, not a preacher of happy holidays. And with John the Baptizer, you will find no tinsel or holly or warm fuzzies, just a clothing of camel's hair. And to be honest, John doesn't care so much about your feelings or your thoughts, but he cares deeply about your soul. Now, John came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, near the Dead Sea, a barren and a desolate place, a haunt of jackals and hyenas. I'd say that the wilderness is a good description for the whole world after the fall into sin. The world itself is a wilderness of thorns and thistles, a wilderness of pain and suffering, a place that is spiritually dry, barren, and lifeless. The perfect habitat for hypocrites and for a brood of vipers like the Pharisees and Sadducees. And what does John say out there in the wilderness? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. We need this message, even when it comes as an interruption to so many people's favorite season, the season of excitement and of joy and of happiness and merriness. We need John's call to repentance. Because living in this world is a little bit like the proverbial frog in the kettle. You know how that one goes. The water heats up slowly and cooks that frog without him ever even noticing. In the same way, the sin in this world that's all around us gradually cooks us without our knowing it. We grow accustomed to sin in the world. We grow accustomed to sin in ourselves, just bit by bit and step by step, until maybe we don't even notice it anymore. The things that used to shock us no longer do. The things that used to alarm us or even trigger, don't even trigger a warning light now. Repent, John says. And yet, most of us aren't strangers to repentance. If you've been around the church for long, you know that repentance is one of the themes in the church. You know that Advent and Lent are seasons of repentance. So you may be thinking, oh yes, here we are again. It's that time of year. Time for us to hear John again. Time for us to repent again. Time to glance at our lives and repeat our confession of sin. Time to say we're sorry and then get on with Christmas. What I mean is that sometimes it's easy, even for us who are Christians, to take repentance lightly. Now, I don't mean that we don't take it at all. When the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin, we do feel it. When our brother or sister in Christ calls attention to the way that we've broken God's law or caused offense, most of us will listen. And yet I think we take repentance too lightly. It's almost as if we become comfortable with repentance. We see Advent as now's the time to turn our repentance, to get that done with, as if repentance may be just a bunch of spiritual red tape for the bureaucracy to deal with. A bothersome but a necessary thing. We've just got to do it every so often and get it out of the way. Maybe a bit like going down to the BMV and renewing your license. Every so often you've got to do it. It's painful. And then it's done. Have we treated repentance like that? As something that you can just simply take care of and be done with? Just tell us what we've got to do to show our repentance and we'll do it, like it's a mechanical or a transactional thing. Tell me what I've got to do. Tell me the right buttons to push, and I'll push them. And too often, that's where our repentance stops. After we've done what we think we need to do, and we feel better about ourselves, and we know Jesus died for us, and then life goes back to normal, to the same old, to the usual. Even to the same old sins. How long does it take you? It doesn't take me long. Less than a week, and that repentance is over and done with, and the sins have returned, and things are not as they should be. But today, John the Baptizer will have none of it. He sees right through those who trust in the goodness of their repentance. He sees right through those who take repentance lightly. And there's nothing light or wimpy about John's message. He says, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. He says, confess your sins, but don't simply stop when you've heard that word of forgiveness. He says, the axe is laid at the root of the trees, and every tree that doesn't bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. In other words, he says, don't mess around with repentance. Don't play with fire. And remember that repentance is to be followed by good works. Not that our good works save us, but repentance shows itself with a new life of love and obedience. Repentance engages in war against our sinful lusts and desires. The Lutheran confessions call this total repentance. What kind of repentance is it if we say that we're sorry for our sins, but never try to make any changes in our lives? What kind of repentance is it if we continue to be satisfied with the sins that crop up in our lives? I'm not saying that changing our habitual sins or our addictions or our sinful character traits will be easy. It won't be. What I'm saying is that we cannot embrace them. We cannot be satisfied or content with them. We can't be happy with the old ugly Adam who dwells in us, hanging around and staying in residence. Martin Luther put it this way in his very first of the 95 Theses. He said, when our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, repent, he willed the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. That repentance is never something we simply do and get out of the way. But repentance is the entire life of the Christian. Luther also said in his catechism on baptism, he said that to be baptized means that we are to daily put to death the old sinful nature in us by contrition and repentance, and that each day a new man, Christ, arises in us to walk in newness of life. Repentance is not just about confessing our sin on Sunday morning. It's not just about easing our consciences so that we feel less guilty. Repentance isn't to be partial or fragmentary, but to be full and to be whole. And so it is that as we come even on the second Sunday in Advent, hearing John the Baptizer's call to repentance, we confess that we are sinners. Not just this sin or that sin, but we confess that everything in us is nothing but sin. Our confession includes all sins and excludes nothing and forgets nothing. We must confess even that our repentance has not been what it should be. But now hear the second part of what John preaches. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is a kingdom that you do not prepare or work for, but it is a kingdom that God himself has prepared and established. And that kingdom is coming. It is at hand. It is so close to you today. And John doesn't say the kingdom of heaven is at hand simply as a threat or a warning, but as a promise. The reason he calls you to repentance, the reason he wants your entire life to be a life of repentance, is so that you can see your Savior. It's not that John is clearing away your sins to make ready for Jesus. It's that John is pointing out your sins so that Jesus can come and take them away. John the Baptizer today wants us to see ourselves as we truly are, even to see our repentance as having been half-hearted and insufficient, so that we can see how deeply we need the kingdom that comes and how deeply we need this King who comes to us. This is John the Baptizer's job. He prepares the way of the Lord. He makes his path straight. He levels all those walls by which we think we have earned the kingdom ourselves and shows a straight path for us sinners to the Savior. Like I said, it's not that John takes our sins away. No, John puts the magnifying glass on them. He magnifies them, and then he points us to our Savior. The Lamb of God, he says. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, even Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God that comes in the flesh to bear your sins and be your Savior. The sacrifice who has made satisfaction for every single one of your sins. Jesus Christ, your Lord, comes today. John the Baptizer, having pointed out your sins and called you to repentance, Jesus comes to be your Savior and Lord, and to take those sins away. And this is the great joy that we have as Christians. Our salvation is not dependent on ourselves. It's not even dependent on how good our repentance is. But our salvation has been accomplished and won by our Lord who bore all of our sins on the cross. And John the Baptizer says that when he comes, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Indeed, you have been baptized with the Holy Spirit. And the new man, Christ, does live within you. And he does fight against your old sinful nature. The fight is long and the fight is hard. But you are not alone. Christ is in you. And the Holy Spirit is with you. And you have this promise, dear Christian, that as he has taken your sins away, as he has borne all of them on his cross, so he will also gather his wheat into his barn. Our Lord Jesus Christ comes today to you with his forgiveness and his salvation. He comes in his holy word and he comes in his holy sacrament. And today we also wait for him to come again when he will gather all of us into his heavenly home, into his barns, and we will dwell with him forever. So hear the preaching of John the Baptizer and see where his finger points to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away your sin. In his name, amen.